Welcome to the podcast Found in Estonia, where we talk with foreigners who have made Estonia their home. In each episode, we are going to talk with one foreigner who already lives in Estonia. This podcast aims to bring our listeners together, inspire more open-mindedness, and just to share interesting stories and observations that many foreigners with their fresh eyes can offer. Among the podcasts, we also plan to organize events and get-togethers in real life. And the best way to never miss any information about that is to go to our website, which is foundinestonia.ee, and become part of our community. By the way, if you join our email community in August, which is right now, which is our launch month, then together with Estonian organic fragrance company Hurm, we actually have a gift for you. So go to our website and read more how to get it. In today's episode, it's going to be me, Tina, and I'm chatting with Rafiki, who is from Spain. He says it was his destiny to move to Estonia, and he actually came to this conclusion while watching TV in northern Russia. So you will hear that story in a minute, and we are also going to talk about his special hobby, which is visiting all the museums there are in Estonia. And well, let's just say 200 different museum visits later, he is still going strong. So yep, turns out we do have more than 200 different museums in Estonia. And we also talked about how it is now hard for him to go to bars in Spain, how he has become a fan of reflectors, and how he made up a new term for Estonian drivers, which is complex of the first in line. If you feel confused, then let's just jump into our chat and let the conversation unfold from there. Enjoy. Also, by the way, to make it easier for you to follow all the names and places mentioned, you can find the transcription of the episode on foundinestonia.ee/Rafiki.
Well, my name is actually Rafael.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Rafiki is just a nickname. So yeah, Rafiki is okay.
Okay.
Or Rafa.
Nice. Rafa, Rafiki, Rafael. Which one do you prefer? Yeah.
Whatever, it's fine.
Okay, nice. And you are from Spain, and you've been living here in Estonia for more than a few years now already, right?
Yeah, several years. Actually, I came first to Estonia to live, directly to live. I hadn't visited this country before, in 2009.
Okay.
Stayed for 1 year. I was Erasmus student in Tartu University.
Mm-hmm.
And after several years, in 2016, I came back to Estonia again to Tartu University, but not to study, but to work. I was teaching Spanish there.
Mm-hmm.
Was there for 3 years, and then last August, in 2019, I moved to Tallinn, and I'm still teaching Spanish.
Okay. Here. So what did you study in Tartu University?
Actually, I was studying translation in my home university, but of course, there was no Spanish to English translation,
mm-hmm.
so I took just languages course, mm-hmm. courses, like I took a Russian course, also Estonian, I took French, several levels of English, and I also had some other kind of courses like history or literature or even documentation I had in Viljandi Academy.
Wow, nice. Do you feel like if you speak so many languages, do you feel like you have an advantage of learning Estonian? Or is it easy for you? Or how is your Estonian, actually?
My Estonian is very basic, natuke. Maragin ainult natuke. I can understand much more than I can speak. I managed to have some very simple phone conversations, for instance, in Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to know if something is open or the opening times or some place or, but very, very simple things. But anyway, when I visit some place, I can even understand if the guide is in Estonian. I can somehow more or less guess what's going on there. But my active Estonian competence is not that good.
Okay, that's fine. But since we are talking about the Estonian language, do you have any like favorite expressions or anything that seems funny to you or doesn't make sense? Or
well, for ages, my favorite sentence has been "Tere tulemas." It sounds so funny. Tere is actually a name in Spain.
Oh,
it's Teresa.
Teresa. Oh, so woman.
The short name is Tere. Yeah, so it's like "Tere tulemas." It sounds so funny for me. But actually, I can't think now in any very specific expression or words. Sounds strange.
Yeah, that's fine. And going back to your like first time when you came to Estonia was, you said, 2015?
No,
2009. Okay, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So you hadn't been in Estonia before. So
no.
How did you choose Estonia?
Actually, I had the list of countries I could choose, and I saw that I wanted to go far because I can go from Spain to Italy easily, or to Austria or Belgium. I didn't want to go to the UK or any other English-speaking country because I wanted to feel something different, and I had already been there. So I wanted to go as far as possible, and I had two main options. Estonia, with both Tallinn and Tartu options, and Finland. But I checked, and Finland was so expensive, and I couldn't afford back then. So I decided to come to Estonia with the SD Kron.
So. Yeah, the SD Kron. So you were here when we got euros.
No, I was already gone.
Ah, okay.
When you got the euros.
11, I think,
yeah,
was it?
You got the euros in 2011, and I was here 2009, 2010.
And how did the decision came to come back to Estonia?
That's actually a very funny story.
Okay,
listening.
It's sort of, you could say, like destiny or fate was bringing me back here.
Yeah.
After I finished my degree, I went to several places in Iowa.
US.
Yes, in the US. Also to Uzbekistan and Murmansk and Cyprus, different places.
Yeah.
And there's a program, kind of agreement between the Spanish Ministry of Foreign Affairs and other countries to promote Spanish language. So I wanted to participate in that program, and I had always participated. The first time I asked for Australia, they say, of course, you can stay home waiting for that. Then I applied for one of these island nations in the Caribbean, St. Lucia.
Oh, that sounds far away.
Yeah, I ended up in Murmansk instead. So
Murmansk, is that in Russia?
Yeah, Arctic Russia.
Oh.
Yeah, it's quite near the border between Russia and Norway.
Okay, that sounds exciting as well. How long were you there?
Oof, 6 months.
6 months, okay.
Yeah, but they were quite hard. Fortunately, starting in the dark period and ending in the light period, anyway.
Okay.
Once I was in Murmansk, and then, you know, this program is for 3 years. So every year the destinations are different because people stay for 3 years. So there was the Tartu option, as well as other options like Johannesburg or Skopje, Macedonia, or any other places. I went to a friend's house there in Murmansk, and outside Murmansk, and it was the first time in my life that I saw the Northern Lights.
Oh,
there.
That's cool. I've never seen Northern Lights, so that sounds like,
it was not that visible. I saw like a green cloud, basically.
Okay. Still, it sounds really cool.
I've seen better.
Okay.
And, well, after that, of course, I was so excited. I saw like small Northern Light. I was like, wow. We're having dinner at her place. And then she turned the TV on. And suddenly, I recognized a place on the movie it was played. It was Raikoja Plats in Tartu.
Ooh,
it was like, I don't know, Soviet movie inspired in the 40s or 50s. I don't know. I don't remember if it was... No, it was color. It was color movie, so it was not that old. But it was shot in Tartu, and I could easily recognize the main square. Of course, there was not the kids and students fountain yet. So I said, okay, that's a sign. I had to apply for Tartu. applied for Tartu.
So you were in the Nordic
Russia.
Russia when you saw the Tartu in TV, and then you decided that that's the place to go.
That's the place. Wow. I had to decide on that night where to apply, because you can only apply for one place.
Wow, that is destiny.
That was the sign. And I applied and I did my interview and I got second place.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't chosen at first. But for some reason, the person who was chosen decided to resign.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taken in the last moment already. I think it was August or maybe late July to start in at the ending of August.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it was a good sign after all.
Yeah, wow. That's a journey. That's really exciting. And how do you like, what brings you back to Estonia? What do you like about Estonia compared to so many other countries that you've been to? Or do you even like it?
Yeah, of course. I love Estonia. I could have left already. But I decided to stay because I actually love Estonia.
That's nice. So what do you like about it? Or is there anything?
It has something. I actually don't know. First one, there's not so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so stressful as, I don't know, being in Barcelona, Rome, or Berlin.
Where are you from, actually, from Spain?
From the south, Cádiz. It's quite unknown, but maybe you know Seville, Malaga, or Gibraltar. They are nearby places.
Are those crowded places or big places?
Yeah. Okay. Especially in my area, it's one of the areas with more population density in Spain, apart from the big capitals.
Okay.
In the bay, in our bay, in five villages, there are about 1 million people.
Oh, okay. Just like tiny Estonia and so on.
Yeah, it's a tiny Estonia in a very small territory. And yeah, I like being able to go freely, let's say, not to visit places. Supermarkets are not full of people and streets are nice. Okay, the weather, I don't like it. Especially not today. It's
why?
Raining,
but is there not to like?
Today, we're having every kind of weather. It's summer. It's
today,
normal.
It's a bit rainy with some clouds and grayness. True.
Because I actually don't like the hot we have in Spain. It's so hot for me. But I don't like this minus 20 temperatures. I minus 30 even, the experience here, even...
Even I don't like it. No.
Yeah, I know. Even Estonians don't like them. And, well, and anyway, these two last years weren't that hard. Especially this year was so mild.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like also the nature. I miss mountains.
Mm-hmm. Do you have mountains in south of Spain? Where
yes. Well, not exactly in my city because we are by the sea and we are in the, let's say, in a valley.
Mm-hmm.
But in the, it's very... The mountains are very near, it's 1 hour apart, even less. My province is quite mountainous in England. And also I studied in Granada, that is surrounded by mountains. The main ski resort in Spain is there as well. So I miss mountains in that aspect, but I like how easy it is to do like trails and experience nature, because everything is well controlled. You have these wooden paths that you can follow, you can camp everywhere. I don't know, nature is very, I love nature here.
We have a lot of nature, so that's really cool to hear.
It's very green and it's very, that's why it's very different from my area is quite dry in that sense. So yeah, I like the green part of Estonia.
Okay, cool, that's really cool. What do you think of Estonians? You really like the country and the nature, but what about people in it? How would you describe them, actually, firstly?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so easy to describe, like, one nation in, like, that would be so stereotypic. But, mostly, I noticed that they like nature and they are very good friends when they are close, but it's hard to get that close.
Yeah.
I have some Estonian friends, obviously, after so many years here. Especially my colleagues at work in Tartu University or also in other activities I've been doing. Actually it's a bit hard to get into knowing Estonians if they're not drunk at some point.
I've heard that before as well, or I know that, it's true. But how have you found your friends? You said through the work.
Yeah, I work with people mainly. So mm-hmm. I'm teaching and I have my co-workers and also my students.
Mm-hmm.
And also became friends after I left university or whatever. But also, yeah, I have some, like, I play some games and also some, you know, some activities like this museum going or whatever. Meet some people there mm-hmm. as well.
That's nice. So you mentioned briefly that you work with people, but what exactly do you do?
I teach Spanish, mm-hmm. also Spanish literature, culture, history.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm working in a language school here in Tallinn,
mm-hmm.
right in front of the Spanish embassy. And yeah, of course I'm in contact with people all the time, and
yeah.
it's always the same people. It's not like when you're in a shop and you see different people coming
yeah.
every day, or in a restaurant, but I see the same people for a period of time. So
mm-hmm.
maybe it's just for 1 week or for several months.
Mm-hmm.
So they become closer. So,
yeah. Then
so,
you get to know them
yeah.
more. Yeah. Yeah. Do you hang out mostly with Estonians or with other foreigners?
Mostly with foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly with foreigners, because I also, I don't know, it's easier for me to speak in my own language usually with foreigners.
Mm-hmm. Is there a strong, like, Spanish people's community in Estonia, you'd say?
We're more than expected, actually. More than expected. But, yeah, it's a quite nice community, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I've also heard that you have some interesting hobbies. I heard that on the weekend you visited like 15 museums.
Well, not on the weekend, but last week.
Last week, okay. So tell us more.
Yeah, I have this hobby. I inherited it from my experience in Tashkent and Murmansk. In Tashkent, I didn't have many things to do there, actually. Mm-hmm. So
Tashkent is also in Russia?
No, Tashkent is in Uzbekistan. It's the
capital
city of
okay.
Uzbekistan. I had not so much to do when I was not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I first visited main museums in the country, of course, like the National Museum of whatever, of Applied Arts or the History or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started focusing on small ones.
Okay.
Like this local poet that had his home museum there,
yes.
or this local painter or local
yes.
dancer. Some of those names I already forgot, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is my next question. Like, if you
yeah.
visit so many museums, can you remember, like, all that you see? Or
of course, I don't have that photographic memory.
Yeah.
I can't remember
Super
everything
brain.
That I see. But I can more or less remember what's going on,
mm-hmm.
if something was actually impressive or special there. Talking about this ones in Uzbekistan or in
mm-hmm.
Murmansk, I remember, for example, I even remember some names of the home museums I
wow.
visited, even if I didn't know them before.
Okay.
Tamara Hanum or,
okay.
or Sergei Borodin or Yuldash Akhundbabayev.
Yeah, those names are so foreign for me. I don't know anything about that.
Tamara Hanum was a dancer.
Okay.
The other were painters and
yeah.
politicians.
So in Uzbekistan, you started by visiting all the museums they had, and then you moved, and then you did it again?
Again, in Murmansk, yeah, because
yeah.
I had actually nothing to do there.
Okay, and that was in Russia, right?
Yeah, not
mm-hmm.
in Russia. And then when I moved here, actually first year I didn't actually visit so many places.
Mm-hmm.
First semester, I was in Tartu, I came to Tallinn, visited the Occupation Museum and Photo Museum.
Mm-hmm.
But just like random museums to visit, not like specific. I want to visit all. Then it was in the second part of my first year here that was this my first museum night
okay.
here in May 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Tartu, so okay, let's visit the museums
mm-hmm.
in Tartu.
So the museum night is the night where all the museums are open for everybody
yeah,
to visit. Right?
Not all of them, but.
Mm-hmm.
Every year it changes,
yeah.
but there are a lot of museums participating in this initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I planned to visit some museums there in Tartu. And I managed to visit more museums than I expected, because museums were not that big.
Mm-hmm. So what was your first museum that you visited?
The first museum I visited in Estonia was the Yeah, I don't know if photo occupation museum. But when I was Erasmus, my first museum I visited was a museum that doesn't exist anymore.
Which one?
It was the Old Anatomical Museum in Tartu.
Oh.
Now the collection is transferred to AHA.
Okay, okay.
But it was in the Old Anatomical Building. It was so creepy.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was so creepy. These babies in bottles.
Jars.
In jars. Now they are in a better place, and they don't look that scary. But imagine that building that was not renovated back then. Mm-hmm. It was like old building, semi-derelict building.
Okay.
With the old surgery rooms and all.
That does sound scary.
Yeah, it was so scary.
Probably a lot of souls going around or something.
Yeah. It used to be a hospital or something. So imagine how many dead people was there.
Yikes. Were there. Blood on the walls and so on. Interesting topic. Yeah. And now it's been 10 years from the first time you came to Estonia. So how many museums have you visited in Estonia? And what is your goal or what is it?
I can't say.
Do you keep track of those?
Unfortunately not. I have a list of what I have to visit because I haven't been to, but I don't, unfortunately, didn't keep track of what I visited. I guess if I see it one day and okay, let's write down what I have visited. And even I have pictures of all of them, so I can even track when I visited them.
So you could make your own expedition or museum, like you visiting all the museums.
I could be the museum of museums.
Yeah, exactly.
The meta museum.
Approximately how many museums do you think you see?
About 200.
Wow, do we even have so many museums in Estonia?
Yeah.
And how do you find those?
How do I find? Okay, the main ones are easily visible.
You have big ones?
Yeah, big ones. There's Kiki in the Kirk, there's Ermen.
The Ermen? What's that? Herman. Herman.
Ermen. Es de Rafa.
Ah, Ermen. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been there, actually, so that's embarrassing. I've been in the lobby. There was an event there, but I haven't been to the actual
to
museum
the
part. Yeah.
Yes, save some hours. It will take you some time.
It will. But how do you find the small ones? The
small ones, sometimes by chance, sometimes, okay, there's this website, Visit Estonia, where there's a map, and you can just click on show museums and galleries, and it will show, but there are not all of them. And even in English, they are not all that are in Estonian.
Yeah.
In the Estonian version of the website.
I can imagine the tiny museums that are, like, the information is probably only in Estonian. Or
yeah, some of them are only in Estonian, obviously, especially the small. Sometimes I just find it, I just pass by and find them. Really, for real, it happened.
Okay.
Or in other, like, even former websites and former travel guides, museums that don't exist anymore. Or I don't know, sometimes it's even by the list of museums participating in this. And I thought, where was this museum before? Mm-hmm. And it's every week I find at least one new museum that I haven't found.
How? What? Every week?
Yeah, every week.
Is it only in Tallinn or
all over Estonia.
Okay, and how? Like, do you put time apart to find new museums or are you just...
Sometimes I just find it by the last museum I found.
Yeah.
I was looking for the phone number of a museum to call because sometimes you need to, well, sometimes no, most of the ones that I have left, I have to call and ask for them to open because they are not open to the public normally. And I randomly found another museum in another list of museums. And I was like, why now? Stop. Please stop creating new museums, people. Let me finish.
So... do you have a goal with it, like to see all the museums?
Yeah, the goal is seeing all the museums, but it's a never-ending task. Even if Estonia is such a small country, it's a never-ending task. You can't imagine how many like small museums are in the pastorate of a church, for instance.
Pastorate of a church.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, in the rural places,
they
have like the history of the village there or the history of the parish there in the church. or in a school. There are a lot of schools that have museums in Estonia.
So
they are quite hard to visit because they can only be visited during school years normally. Mm-hmm. And normally by that time I'm working, so
mm-hmm.
it's like the biggest niche that I haven't actually explored so much. I have been to some of them, but wasn't... Mm-hmm. It's not that easy. Sometimes you need to ask, and it's a school, you cannot like enter freely.
So what do you like about visiting museums? Like, do you always read the history and texts, or do you just walk in, walk out, and make your check mark?
Sometimes you can only do that because there's nothing else to see.
Yeah.
In some of them. Just take a picture and say, okay, check mark.
Mm-hmm.
But actually I like the, especially in the small places, I like to see the how people used to live.
Mm-hmm.
I have with some friends that sometimes come with me, I have like this a checklist of things that a museum should have to be considered a museum.
What is in that checklist?
For example, I don't know the words in English for these subjects, but for instance, the sewing machine.
Sewing machine?
Yeah.
This is a must for each museum you visit?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Even if it's like sea museum?
No, of course. They will be.
Sewing machine?
Yeah, there will be.
Really?
At some point. Yes, yes.
But what about art museums?
Yeah, no, but I mean in the small, it's Kodulo museums, it's local art museums or quite small museums.
Mm-hmm.
They have these sewing machines,
mm-hmm.
they have these old irons.
Okay.
This, I don't know how to say in English. This abacus.
Abacus.
Yeah.
It's like the person who writes, or
no? It's the old calculator.
Oh, okay. Where you put the tiny like marbles or pieces into one side and the other to count stuff. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Rehkenduslaud, I think it's in Estonian. I think.
I don't know in English actually. I think it's abacus.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. They have this. Also, these old Estonian crowns, obviously.
Okay.
They tend to be there. What is... I don't know now, but it's like you will see that, we have this job, like it can be considered a museum. It has this, and this.
What if it's missing, like Estonian crowns or the abacus or something?
Of course it's still a museum. Of course it's still, but.
Okay.
It's like something is missing, something is missing.
That's interesting.
A friend had a theory that there's only one abacus or one sewing machine in the whole country, and they are spying me, so they know where I'm going, so they're moving the objects all around.
Maybe someone's chasing you.
Like Truman, could
That's a big task to go, like, transported in like 200 places.
It happened once that we planned to go, me and my friend planned to go to one museum.
Mm-hmm.
And in that morning, we decided, it's too far. Let's go to some place that is closer.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any. So maybe they didn't have time because I changed opinion so fast.
But you still counted the museum. Nice. What have been your, like, most interesting museums, or what do you recommend for others to see?
It will be very easy to recommend the Kumu or Erm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people know that they should visit those ones.
But something outside of Tallinn, for example.
But something that is quite interesting. Sometimes the most important, interesting part of the museum is the people that take care of the museums.
Oh, okay.
Because they are so passionate about this hobby, because most of the times they are hobbies.
Yeah.
And they are really honored to have guests, especially guests coming from other countries
that are
interested in their small local history museum.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's a big honor when somebody's from Spain and has visited all the, like, pretty much you visited all the world and other museums, and then you come and to this tiny, tiny museum that you have to call in front to get in, and then you go and check if they have sewing machine, abacus, Eesti kroonid, and those things. Then it seems to be super exciting. That's really cool.
And really some of the museum caretakers are amazing. Really, they really helped a lot, and they are normally very... very kind and very welcoming to show, and they mm-hmm. even if they don't speak English, they try to make themselves understandable. So that's also part that that's why I can understand a lot of Estonian, because I can see and she the person he or she the person that is explaining the the museum for free, because they're not earning anything, they're mm-hmm. just having fun showing what they have been collecting for years.
Is that one of your like tips for learning Estonian, to go to tiny places and visit tiny museums and then talk with the keepers?
Yeah, for instance, one of these museums came to my mind is Treimani Museum.
Treimani.
It's where is that? Pärnuma. It's very, very, very near the Latvian border already. It's near Ikla.
And what is there? It's a person's name or not?
No, Treimani is the name of the village where mm-hmm. there is a person who has a museum.
Mm-hmm.
I found it by chance. Just zoom in Google. why there is a museum here?
Okay.
It's not in any list or anywhere.
Yeah.
And I remember this man was so honored, and he was showing and opening everything. And or even last week I went to Kallaste, Vanausuliste Museum.
Kallaste, is that in Mardu?
No, Kallaste, there are different Kallastes.
Mm-hmm,
Is this one, I mean, is by Lake Peipsi. Peipsi Lake.
Okay. Ah, yeah, okay. I think I've been in somewhere in Kallaste.
they have these cliffs there. So I called there. This is one, not even one of the main museums of old believers. There mm-hmm. have this Kolkia Museum, or this even Pirisare or Mustve. Mm-hmm.
Kolkia, Pirisare, Mustve, okay.
Yeah. And there's even one in Tiheda.
Tiheda. Okay.
Yeah, nearby.
I don't think I visited any of those museums.
Varnia as well, Varnia.
Narnia?
Yeah, Varnia. Not Narnia.
Narnia.
Not in Estonia yet.
Maybe you can open your museum. Narnia. That would be an excellent name for your expedition. Like, welcome to Narnia, where you enter and you are automatically like seeing all the museums.
Just in Estonia.
Yeah.
In one room.
That would be really cool. You will make this grand entrance and everything. You have to enter through a closet.
Yeah, and then you're suddenly there. Not this lady in Kallaste, she didn't speak English, and she was mm-hmm. communicating with me using the Google Translate. She was writing sentences and then to explain me things, and she even gave me two exhibits to me to keep.
Oh, what
yeah,
were they?
I got one old picture of uh-huh. Kallaste cliffs.
Okay.
And one small Old Believers cross mm-hmm. that was found on the lakeshore.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you get souvenirs as well.
Actually, I think I have the cross on me, because I didn't take it out of the
wallet. Is that
wallet
your
yet.
Talisman?
And I didn't charm? Take it from... Yeah.
Oh, so this is like a metal... Like
they found it. It's Old Believers cross, and they found it on the beach. They have the collection of them, and mm-hmm. she told me, choose one, you can take it with you. So it was so nice.
It looks ancient, and it looks pretty interesting. So for the people who don't see the picture, it looks metally, it looks old. There's a cross on it. I think it's like Russian Orthodox cross.
Yeah, on one side is like Catholic cross or mm-hmm. Lutheran cross, like standard cross with two arms,
mm-hmm.
and on the other side is the Orthodox.
Yeah. Okay.
Or actually, the all the believers cross that is a bit different.
I don't know much about religions, actually. But are you religious, or do you know a lot about religions?
I know. I'm not religious myself,
mm-hmm.
but I'm quite interested in religion. So mm-hmm. I became so interested, and it's also a way to get to know the culture, because of a region or a country.
But is it a valid point in Estonia as well, where we don't have so much like religious things?
That's what you think.
Or that's something that I think, because I don't
really... That's what you think.
Okay, so tell me more. What
actually,
is it?
Actually, you have more religious related things that you think.
Okay.
First, it's not religious like with an organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your own, oh, not you personally,
yeah, Estonians. Yeah.
Estonians have their own superstitions that mm-hmm. are somehow religious mm-hmm. as well.
For example?
That's like beliefs, for mm-hmm. example. I don't see that so that often now as I used to see it when 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, to give the money not directly to the hand, but to your plate.
Okay.
In a supermarket or something. Hmm. They don't give you the money directly to your hand. Which that's what I'm used to.
Oh,
or okay. Whistling inside.
Yeah, whistling inside is truly, at least in my like household or family, it was a common fact or teach that if you are not allowed to whistle inside, because otherwise there will be a fire in this house later. So, and the money thing, yeah, I haven't thought about it, maybe, because we always have these counters for like coins.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed it like in February, I actually visited South Korea, and there it was like super polite that you have to give money with two hands, and mm-hmm. everybody was giving it.
Yeah.
But in Estonia,
you put the money on the
usually.
On the like a small plate surface, mm-hmm. and then you take it from there.
But... And is that like does that has anything to do with religion then?
Superstition.
Superstition. Okay.
Passing maybe, money from hand to hand.
Yeah, maybe it's too automatic for me that I haven't.
Yeah. It's something noticed. Unconscious. It's not religious itself, mm-hmm. but it's connected to beliefs more than religion.
Yeah.
Let's call it beliefs.
Okay. Do you have anything else that you've noticed like that?
Many things, but right now I can't think of it. Probably in 10 minutes I will come with something else.
Is it the same in Spain as well?
No, that's why I noticed. Okay. That's why I noticed. In Spain, for example, I wouldn't do that we're doing now. Yeah, you cannot open umbrellas inside.
Okay, we have like, for context, we are sitting in a room and it was raining. So I came in, or we both came in and put the umbrellas, opened it up and put it drying on the floor. So what is wrong with that?
It's really bad luck.
Really?
It's really bad luck there in Spain.
Yeah. Interesting.
Opening an umbrella inside will bring you years of
bad luck. Okay. I've never heard of that. I just know that, for example, if you break a mirror, then it's...
Yeah, that's quite widespread.
Yeah,
walking under a ladder or...
Yeah, black cats and...
Yeah, black cats.
Yeah, and we have...
Number 13.
And you have to knock on the wood when you're afraid to jinx anything. Like, knock on the wood, then it goes away. Or spit over your left shoulder. That's also something.
Yeah, there's some superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
Beliefs, actually, beliefs.
Yeah, those are really interesting topics. And... Yeah.
And also, I noticed when related to these beliefs or superstitions, there are a lot of these energy trails or energy sammas or energy columns.
Oh, in Estonia?
Yeah. Especially more in the south.
How do you recognize them, or what do you mean by
that? They're even called like that.
Oh.
Energy trail, and it's full of small sculptures representing some things.
Okay.
I remember, for example, one in Ilumetsa, there in Pölvama.
Wow, I'm learning so much.
There is a trail with witches.
In Ilumetsa, there's a trail with witches, okay.
Yeah, and also in Elva, they have this Energia trail as well, full of different sculptures representing different animals.
Oh. Do you consider those as museums as well?
No, they're just trails. It could be considered, normally it could be like open air, gallery, more than music, gallery. But
that's
cool. It's trail, actually. It's...
Mm-hmm. Anything else exciting or interesting that you've noticed or
about like
Estonia, like energy or traditions or superstitions or.
Or behavior.
Or
behaviors. The first thing that really shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Was silence.
What?
Silence. What do you mean? Thing, now I became very used and I can be silent for years. But
we have a lot of that.
But first time I came from a very noisy part of the world.
Yeah, Spain.
And especially in my region we are more noisy even.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to a very high level of noise tolerance.
Yeah.
So I remember the bus I took from Tallinn Airport to Tartu. First time I arrived, one thing that was surprising for me was that there was Wi-Fi there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that we have.
And back then it was that no one was speaking.
In the bus?
On the bus, no one.
Oh, yeah, that's unpolite to speak yeah, out loud.
But it makes, at least me and probably most people from Spain, feel uncomfortable at first. It's like, why? It's silence is uncomfortable. It's it's not polite. It's uncomfortable. Like, there, I'm so used to be sitting on a bus in Spain, going, I don't know, from my city to Madrid, and then the person next to you starts speaking to you, and it's speaking for 8 hours till you reach the destination.
Yeah, that's true here. Most people are like, when you go with a young child to public transportation in the bus, and the young child starts to speak out loud or sing or anything, usually the parents are like, shh, shh. No, like be quiet and like telling the child to like shush, because yeah, we don't consider it.
Instead, it would be the other way around. Like,
really?
People would start. I've been on buses that people would start clapping and singing on the bus with unknown people. It's not like school bus. And of course, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You would go with your friends or no, but it's just regular bus from my town to the capital of my province. So it's 20 minutes, and people are like jumping and singing and
yeah, here it's
so it's like here it's so silence and like I remember first day I didn't know anyone, of course. I was I was typing Estonian invention.
good point.
I was typing with my father, and I said like, no one spoke to me on the bus. No one spoke to me. I was like so shocked. Like, and I'm in the dorm. I was in the dorm. I was sitting downstairs just to see if someone comes and speaks to me, because I didn't know anyone and my flatmates hadn't arrived yet. And I'm sitting here for 2 hours and no one has even approached to talk to me. Like, I'm like so. I've been so strange here.
Oh yeah, that's Estonia.
It's a thing. Of course, after so many years, I became so used to it and. And it's not a problem, but at first, when I was 19, back then, I wanted to meet people. I came to meet people, and I was like, why is anyone talking to me? Is no one talking to me?
And now, when you go back to Spain, is it, like, weird? Or?
Yeah, I feel so uncomfortable in bars, for instance, because they are so noisy inside. I remember being in Madrid last summer, I think it was, and I was with two friends and said, can we please go out? But no. It's too noisy here. It's too noisy. Like, I can't even hear you in front of me. It's too noisy here. But it's normal. It's about, no, can we please go?
Yeah, so you become like Estonian noise.
I remember once. Sometimes I rent cars here, so I drive. And in Spain, I have my car. Unfortunately, I plan to bring it this summer. Bad choice.
Yeah, Corona times, borders.
Bad moment to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I was with a friend that had already been here.
Mm-hmm.
She was I was visiting her in Granada, and it was nighttime, and stopped. I had to stop because there was a person crossing by, and said, "Why isn't he wearing a reflector?"
Automatic, exactly.
Like, where's him? I didn't see him. Where's his reflector?
Yeah, that is like automatic. I remember, like, I was living in New York for a year, and even there, like, it's automatic as an Estonian. Like, when the winter comes, that of course I have to have my reflector and my coat, and then I think I had it, like. It was, I had left it on there, and I put it on winter, and people were really like, what is that thing? What do you mean? What?
Yeah.
Nobody knows it.
I remember I was wearing that in Spain, because I had it on my coat, and I didn't remove it.
Yeah.
And people on the street were stopping me, saying, you still have your tag.
They told it's a tag. Okay.
Do you realize you still have your tag on your label?
Yeah. It's so interesting that here in Estonia, it's like, obligation, you have to have it mandatory, but like other countries, like, doesn't it go dark in Spain? Why?
Yeah,
I'm surprised that you don't.
Yeah,
like,
of course it goes dark. And winter days are long, nights are longer, not as here, but of course.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably it's also because in Estonia, you have a lot of small villages, very, very small villages with three people.
Mm-hmm.
four people and 150 people, and they move in the village, so maybe it's more for rural areas than in Tallinn. You can see people.
Yeah,
the lights are on.
The lights are on, but it's still mandatory.
I think it's more made for these rural areas. It's also compulsory in Finland. Can it be?
I'm not sure, but Finland,
I know
but
here
I
for
think
sure.
Latvia, but I'm not sure as well.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't been in Latvia for a long time.
Hmm. It's not far from here.
Yeah, of course I went last time in October, but.
Hmm. They probably have some museums as well.
Yeah, I visited some, but I want to focus in Estonia first.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. But what about, do you have any advice for people who want to move to Estonia? What should they know or what should they be aware of?
What should they know? What should they be aware of? Well, probably I'm not going to say anything new.
Who knows?
Maybe you have some interesting
insights.
Yeah, of course, be careful of weather, like bring and
clothes for each season
because they're very different. You actually have seasons, not like me. You actually have seasons. I have two seasons. You have four.
So you have four different sets of clothes, right?
Yeah. Or at least three.
Mm-hmm. With layers, probably layers.
Yeah. At least three because spring and fall can be more or less compatible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One is putting on and the other is putting less.
That's true, yeah.
And be ready to work with computers. And to pay with cards. And yeah, that was one of the things that surprised me, because in Spain you cannot, it's not that you don't want it, you cannot pay this bottle of water with card.
Really?
No.
Never, like in a grocery store?
No, never.
Oh,
never.
Okay.
Never. They don't allow you.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to pay minimum.
Yeah, in Estonia, it's like.
It was, I don't know.
Opposite.
It was 20 euro minimum. Now I think they lowered it to like maybe 10 or 15. I'm not sure. It depends on the shop as well.
Yeah, here it's sometimes on festivals or things, they only take like card because it's easier for them. They don't have to
manage
count
money,
yeah, coins or anything.
Yeah, I think it's much safer in that aspect. You want to get attacked because you don't have physical money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's also good for bus drivers, for instance, or you know, you can only pay by card, so they don't actually have to deal with money.
Yeah, that makes it easier.
Yeah. Yeah, and the opposite, in Spain, people will think like, really, are you going to pay this with card? Yes, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said the same in an interview I had with the Spanish newspaper during this quarantine time. That in Spain, people are like making fun of you because you have paid a bottle of water with credit card, like, or with just with card. Why not?
Yeah.
It's money. It's the same.
Here is, yeah.
It's the same.
Here it's becoming really
It's more
common.
Comfortable. Like, boop, that's it.
Yeah, especially with the contactless cards.
Yes, yeah, that's one of my favorite inventions ever.
Nice.
These contactless cards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I have a few short questions about all the weird stuff that you've encountered. Like, what is the weirdest food that you've eaten here or ate
the
here?
The weirdest food? I mean, Estonian food is not so different from German food or Latvian food, so it's
so not
weird. not actually weird. Or maybe no, I tried different food here from other countries I hadn't tried before, like Georgian food or Azerbaijani food, or I found even Uzbek food here that I missed from Uzbekistan.
Oh. So generally you eat pretty international even here.
Yeah, no, but yeah, also eat Estonian food, but it's not that different.
Yeah.
Not that.
I guess it's hard to define like what is
original
or what is the real
Estonian. Maybe Gama dessert.
But Gama for me, for example, as an Estonian, I never eat it at home. I've only eaten it at like summer camps or like schools sometimes when they serve it in big quantities, but I never actually eat it at home, even though it's our like national food or
maybe gamma is one thing that I've strange thing.
Yeah.
Let's say something different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, mulgipuder is just it's not so complicated to to make or
to make. Wow. Okay, I've never made mulgipuder small but I know my parents have. So.
I mean, it's not that different from mashed potatoes, but you just have to add more stuff and take more time. It takes more time.
Okay, that was foods. What about, you already said about culture things, right?
And yeah.
Maybe some weird words or weird habits of people.
Habits of people. Well, that's more a critic. I don't know why. Every time I'm driving on Estonian roads, everyone's it's passing me by. I like made a name for that. I call it the complex of the first in line. So they always have to be before you.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
And then it's me who gets fined. I don't know why.
Oh, that sucks. I think it's common on the road, for example, from Tallinn to Pärnu, when there's only like one lane for both directions. Then everybody wants to cross. But in like Tallinn to Tartu, for example, there's more space. But
you know, it's same. No? It's also one lane most of the time.
Okay.
There are some parts,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning until you get to, I don't know the name of that place, Kose.
Kose Uemõisa.
Then it's more lanes, but then it becomes one. Then this Mai, I think it's called this by the crossroads. Then it's also two lanes, and then again one.
Yeah.
So in one lane, it's always even buses or trucks.
That's annoying when trucks try to pass you.
Yeah, and very dangerous
actions
they're doing there. So Estonians have to be more patient. You may have more trouble if you want to arrive like 10 minutes earlier. Because you're trying to save more time. So behave on the road.
Yeah, everybody wants to be punctual. I think it's a nice place to wrap up because you have to run as well to be punctual in... Estonia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But any last things that you would like to share or say?
I don't know. Like, well, first of all, thank you for interviewing me. I don't think I'm that interesting and that people would like to listen about me, but
humble.
And yeah, like once the people are in Estonia, not only foreigners but also Estonians. I have been to more places than Estonians have.
Yeah, I have.
So
that makes it super interesting, I think.
So that's a good thing that I can advise to people. Like, don't stay just in the place you are. Just move around. You don't need to go to Southeast Asia or to South America or to Egypt. You can even go to the nearby province that you or county that you haven't been to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn about how people live there now and how people used to live there before.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn how to do a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I'm excited as well about like finding out more about those tiny museums that you mentioned. Places like at the energy trail in
Ilomantsi, Elva,
and so on.
And also there are more in Viljandima, there's also some in Otepa también. I also.
Wow, like that's
there's several, really cool. Several of them. Energy with columns that you have to hug.
That's cool.
But they will give you more energy.
So. Yeah. Have you felt that it works to get the energy from it?
Not really.
Okay.
It's all a matter of believing it. If you believe it, probably it will help.
Loading your batteries, charging your batteries. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.